You're listening to The Creative and Passionate Cat, hosted by Antoine Erold.
And, you know, I could do an intro and all these things, but for the people that don't know you, I want them to have, you know, like a clear, you know, blank page and just get the overview about, you know, your life, you know, what you've been through, what makes you a successful woman, and, you know, why you believe other people need to really, you know, take on this mindset of being a millionaire and being successful and really, you know, taking control of their lives.
Absolutely. So my name is Michelle Wong. I am a business owner, entrepreneur. I own the WIM Group. It's a real estate investment and development company based in New York. I also have I co-founded and co-own a TV media and film production company called Evoy Productions with my business partner, which is also, it's 100% female business owned, and it's also based in New York. From that, it's kind of crazy that where I'm at now compared to where I started. My background was in business administration, and I also worked in the medical field in billing and collection. So I was doing that for about 14 years. Mm-hmm. And they got to the point where you're at the crossroad and you're thinking to yourself, what is the next step? What am I going to do in the next few years? And for certain people that can relate to it, when you're working a 9-to-5, and I'm not knocking people that work at 9-to-5, but for other people like myself, we go through a crossroad where we're making that decision. Do I want to continue working for someone else, or do I want to be my own boss? Okay. And that's what exactly happened to me. When I got to that crossroad a few years ago, I was still in the direction of going into the medical field and continue my education and becoming a physician assistant or even a medical doctor.
Okay.
But then I guess in the back of my mind, I also had that what if moment with real estate. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I did. At that time I was talking to a friend of mine who was a real estate broker. And, you know, in conversation, he said, you know, you're really good with people. You're really good with, you have the knack for real estate. I think that you should pursue that. So that kind of stuck with me. And in the process of just continuing forward with, you know, continuing the path in the medical industry, I actually did, I guess, a 180. And I just kind of decided not to even go that route. And just kind of went forward and, you know, took a real estate course, got my license. And then from there, it just kind of unraveled where, I guess a year and a half into, you know, being a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, one of my associates at that time, she, introduced me into real estate investing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think it opened my eyes even more, because it's fully dimensional in the sense where, apart from being a real estate agent, whereas there are certain restrictions in that part of the industry,
right?
You now have so much more to do as an investor, and you don't have to be licensed to do that. So right. That's what basically happened. Once I saw that part and I was educated on it, that's where the doors opened for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it was a combination of a few things that just kind of, went into my path, and I just decided to, you know, to go forward with it. That same person, and ironically enough, the same person that introduced me into real estate investing, you know, me and her were in two different sides. Like, she was trying to figure herself out, and I was more curious to see what's on the other side of the door, per se, in that opportunity in real estate investing. So when we were in the process of trying to venture together and become business partners, she kind of put like a halt on it. And she said to me, you know, I really want to just stay where I'm at and figure myself out. And for me, it was more like, I have to keep going.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was taken aback by it because she thought that, okay, since I'm kind of on a, you know, on a standstill,
right.
You know, I was going to do the same thing. And I'm more of, I have to, you know, continue and see, even though if I do not succeed in that journey, I can take at least a lesson from that and then, you know, figure out other options along the way.
Definitely.
So that's kind of like, that's like the journey that I had to go through to where I'm at now. Definitely. And this is like, you know, after, you know, close to 4 years that I'm in the situation that I am now, where I have these opportunities that either come to me or I just make my own,
yeah.
You know, like anything else. And, you know, so with those experiences, I like to, you know, kind of like teach other people that it's okay to, you know, go through the motions and go through your path and see what is your calling, what is your passion, what is it that you want to do for yourself as a business owner and as an entrepreneur. So I encourage that. I'm not taking away from anyone that prefer to, you know, to work the 9 to 5 or the 40 hours or the 50 hours a week. You know, I'm not knocking it. It's not for everyone. But for the most part, when you have that that spark in you, you don't want to be confined. And right. I think that that's what happens with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs. You don't want to be confined in a box. You like to always explore the what if or what can I do, or, you know, or just keep pushing yourself once you complete one goal, or even if you fail at something, you want to continue the momentum and just keep striving for more, you know?
I hear a lot of confidence, you know, when I hear you speak. So, like, have you always been, like, this confident? Like, where did this come from?
Well, the confidence I think I've always had, even as a child, I'm kind of in between. I am confident, but I'm also humble and quiet at the same time. So it's not like I come off as, you know, borderline, like, arrogant. I'm more of, you know, I have the mindset that whatever you put your mind to, you can achieve. Definitely. Nothing is impossible. And nothing that that you do in life is set in stone. You know, that's my philosophy. So, you know, and I guess the other thing too is that my father has, in the past, he, like, you know, growing up, he always told me, never back yourself in a corner, always have your options open. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens, you always need to, you know, always have a couple of options in place just in case something that you thought was going to pan out does it. You don't set yourself up for disappointment, you know, if it doesn't follow through. Definitely. So I always took that in the back of my mind in anything that I do. And I guess I keep things in perspective where if things don't go in accordance of how I want it, I don't feel so disappointed. I take it as a life lesson. And if it does follow through, it's like, great. Now, what else can I do?
I like that.
So I guess it's something in between where I do have the confidence. I grew up that way as a kid. But I think that the other thing, too, is that I got that instilled by, I guess, from my father.
Definitely. That's good. Were your parents, like, you know, successful? Or, you know, were they kind of like a model for you to look at? Or did you kind of, you know, make your own path?
Like, I guess like anything else, both my parents are more of working a 9 to 5.
Okay.
The dynamics of my family is a little bit different in a sense where my grandparents were, for the most part, they were business owners and entrepreneurs. Like my grandmother, which is my maternal side.
Yeah.
She would, you know, she worked as a seamstress, and then she opened up her own, you know, her own boutique.
That's
and
amazing.
So she did that for a bit. And then on my father's side, you know, his father owned Chinese restaurants. So it kind of, I would say it just kind of skipped the generation. They were more like, hey, you know, I have to work. I have to do this. I have to do that. And I did a little bit of both. Like, I worked for a bit, and then now I'm just, you know, being my own boss. Fact. So I guess I have, you know, both sides of that. Yeah.
That's definitely true. So I want to ask also, because this is kind of like, you know, hard for people to do, you know, like on this entrepreneurial journey. You know, you said how your friend, you know, you were both at the same point, and you decided to choose to keep going in your direction, where a lot of people, they'll let their friends, you know, kind of hinder their own goals and dreams unknowingly, just because, you know, they might want to stay comfortable with them. So how did you really, you know, take on that mindset to be okay with, you know, growing past your friend? Not even saying growing past your friend, but just growing apart.
And it does happen. And it does happen. Like anything else, the path of becoming an entrepreneur can be a little bit lonely at times, because when the people around you are taught and they're brought up a certain way to have a certain mindset, mm-hmm. it's a little bit difficult and to see eye to eye with them and be in right. agreement with them. So it becomes challenging. So for me, when I was going through my path, I mean, for the most part, like, you have family members that are looking at you side eye and be like, what, you know, like, yeah. what are you doing? What is up with this? How are you crazy? And that, and then it kind of falls over as well with your friends, mm-hmm. because they have that same mentality. And at some point it just kind of shifts. Like, your relationships with these friends start to, they become more distant, and you start getting closer to other people that are like-minded. And that's exactly what happened with me. I still have friends that I've been friends with from, like, high school, from college, you know, even former coworkers and so forth. And, you know, we have that mutual respect. Like, we don't really, how do you say, we don't get, like, on each other. It's like we have that mutual respect. It's like they know what I'm doing, I know what they're doing, and we're cool. Yeah. And we don't have those issues. It's just that, like anything else, naturally we kind of shift apart in you know, in certain instances. We're not as close as we used to, but it doesn't mean like we don't, you know, we're gonna have any issues. It's not so much of a problem. But yeah, it's been a shift in mm-hmm. the past few years. It's like, if the energy is not there anymore, it's more like, I love you at a distance. And it's like, you know, we still have whole conversations. It's just that we are not as close as we used to. And that's okay.
I like that. That's cool. Because, you know, I think that'll inspire some more people to kind of branch off into their own pathways. Because, you know, just because you're not doing the same thing as your friends don't mean that y'all can't still come together in this time or another. But if you're going to be successful in your own life, you kind of have to step back and think, all right, what's really going to benefit me at the end of the day? And not in a selfish way, but in a, all right, I need to eventually have my life together, you know, because I can't always keep doing this stuff. So, you know, you're excelling, you're moving forward, you're doing all those things, you know, where does the media tie into, like, where did that part come in?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the last part?
The media, because you started media? your media company. So how does, like, because you were
the media aspect, that started a couple of years ago, when I formed the WIM group, because I formed the WIM group previously with a couple of other business partners, and that's mm-hmm. another discussion we can have regarding business partners as well. Definitely. But I started the WIM group previously with a couple of other business partners. And one in particular, you know, we will go to a lot of events, networking events, and go to, you know, to various events and things of that sort. And I think it was like after, because I was notorious of constantly going to these events and networking. That's how I was able to build my Rolodex of connections. It was just going through that, going through the social media platforms like LinkedIn, and I was building a rapport with the people that I was connecting with. Mm-hmm. Well, through these networking events, I started to see like a pattern where you have people that are coming in that are new and they're not seasoned like the other people that are in the group, or mm-hmm. the seasoned people don't really go to these events consistently. Mm-hmm. But overall, it just kind of sparked this whole concept or thought of having a business podcast where, you know, we talk about various things and things of that sort. So that's where that the concept of the podcast show came into play. And then it just kind of gravitated where I had more interest in media, because the more that I went to certain events and summits and things of that, that's where I learned more about the media part of things. So that, so I learned something new about myself, and that opened more opportunities to connect with people and do things on the media side of things.
I like that. We have a question from Antoine. I don't know if he wants to ask it himself or, you know, if he wants to me to pose it. But okay. He asked, what did that do for your business? I think I'm going to assume that he's talking about, you know.
It was more about like the, basically when you go to these networking events, you become like the seasoned like entrepreneurs, right? And then you have the new business owners coming in. What did that do? Is it good or bad?
It's a little bit of both. It's good in a sense where you start to build a rapport with the other new people. So for instance, this is just from my experience. I had a better understanding and a better connection with the new people that were coming in, because we were all in this, in that same circle. So yeah. We bonded over that. And at the same time, it wasn't as beneficial on the negative side per se, because there weren't as many seasoned people there as well. Like, you know, once you start going up in the ladder, unless you're giving back to the community, for the most part, the seasoned people are not going to be networking as much. They're going to be, you know, out in the field doing the actual deals and things like that. So that's something that I also learned in that. Now, it doesn't discourage or it doesn't take away that you'll find a few people in those networking events that I have been doing this for years, and they would take you under their wing and mentor you. So that was another, you know, positive thing. So I did meet within these networking events. I met a lot of, you know, newbies as well as myself. We formed a bond and we connected through that. But at the same time, there were maybe a handful of people within those events that were seasoned, and they were, you know, kind enough to mentor whoever they felt was serious about, you know, taking the plunge and going forward and actually trying to do something, you know, constructive with the advice that they were giving.
I like that. That's really good. We have another question. He says, what does your real estate portfolio look like today?
Well, my real estate portfolio has expanded in the past couple of years. It's funny because for the most part, I've never like really discussed in public like everything that I've done. Mm-hmm. But through anything else, like any life experiences, I'll give you an example. When I first started, I had a couple of deals that I worked with my business partner at the time. And we also, by chance, by luck, we connected with a couple of other people that were on, you know, there were also new people start in the industry. However, we were blessed that we connected with people that are seasoned in the industry. Mm. And our major big deal was a development, a land development. And I guess with that, we learned that it was a great opportunity, but it kind of went over our head and we had to kind of take a step back from that. From that experience over the years, you know, I've worked on various deals in, you know, around the country, mm-hmm. Not just in New York, but in other states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, even overseas. You know, I have partnerships with people in Europe and in Asia. So, you know, I obtained a few properties. I have about 6 or 7 properties right now in partnerships. And apart from that, I'm currently working on a housing project here in New York. It's about 10 to 17 lots that we're converting into affordable housing. Mm. So that's like our biggest project that we obtained just recently.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Definitely. That's wonderful. How do you keep going, you know, with all the things that can come about, challenges, you know, distractions and all those different things? How do you stay focused?
Well, that's a good question. For the most part, I kind of keep my eyes on whatever it is that I'm working on, mm-hmm. and not deviate from that. So if I'm focused on a project, either in real estate or a project in my production company, I always keep my focus on that. I don't try to chase after any shiny object. And also you have to learn to say no to certain opportunities. Even if it sounds really appealing, you have to know what's right for you. Yeah. So if you're currently working on something, you don't want to deviate from that. And always, you know, if you have a goal in mind, follow that goal. And don't try to be like, okay, you know what, I'm going to take a detour to something else. Always keep consistent with what you're doing, because there's always going to be that one person, that one business partner, that one associate, that one opportunity that can totally derail what your set goal is.
Yeah.
And so you always have to see what's right for you, but at the same time, whatever goal that you set for yourself, always, you know, keep consistent to that. Keep true to that.
I like that. We have some interested parties with the real estate. So, you know, when it came to getting into real estate, where did, you know, your initial capital come from? Because a lot of people struggle with getting that.
Well, there's different ways of getting financial backing. When I first started in real estate investing, one of my former business partners was involved in hedge funds. Mm. So that allowed me to tap into that. And like anything else, when you're dealing with financial groups, whether if it's a hedge fund or private money, hard money, or mm-hmm. anything of that sort. Everything is a little bit different because the requirements are a little bit different.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the capital, you need to be on your game when it comes to dealing with the actual deals itself in order to partner with someone that has that money. Right. And another way that you would be able to tap into that is to approach people that are business owners, for instance, doctors, attorneys. They have the money to invest in particular properties. So do not hesitate to approach them on deals, because they don't have the time to look for, you know, opportunities to invest. So you are you're the eyes and ears for them. So those are the people you can approach if you don't have the capital. Right. You know, you would have to put the legwork into it, but if you show them that you, you bring them good deals, they will work with you.
I like that. That's definitely great. Because, you know, a lot of people, they get, you know, so discouraged from getting into even business in general. Because, you know, one thing that you really shared that's powerful is, you know, knowledge attracts the money. So if you know your field or if you know your expertise, you don't always need to have the resources, but somebody will trust you with the resources because you have the knowledge and the know-how to be able to, you know, manage those things.
Yeah. For the most part, like anything, you have to do your homework. You have to do the research. You have to do your due diligence. So if you're working with people that have the equity to, to put into the property, you need to find out from them, what exactly are they looking to invest in. And it doesn't have to be particularly a property per se, but finding out from them what kind of investment are they looking for. Are they looking for it short term, long term, and so forth? And that would determine how to go about the whole deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the wholesale, you have the fix and flip, you have the buy and hold. You have the conversion, the redevelopment. It really depends on what each person is looking for to expand their own portfolio. And then from there determine, okay, I have this type of inventory to approach to you. It's kind of like going to a client and saying, okay, I have, I have this type of car, that type of car. And it depends on what the client is looking for. I have $70,000. I'm looking for a luxury car per se. This is just, similar. And, so are you looking to lease? Are you looking to buy? Like what exactly? It's kind of the same thing with real estate. It's like, how are you going to approach them? What is it that they're looking for? And then how are you going to exit out of that?
I like that. Definitely. What's your sweet spot for like real estate? Like, are you more into buying like land and then selling it? Like, are you, units, multifamilies? Like, what do you typically go for?
Conversions is one that I'm in that I always have an interest for, and multifamily or multi-unit.
Yeah.
Land development is pretty cool, but the land development part is a little bit tricky because, it, like anything else, for people that are going to, invest or fund it, let's say private, hard money or private money per se. It's not like they won't do it, but they kind of shy away with it, because land development is a little bit more complex. So it's like you really don't have an existing foundation, so it becomes like high risk. But for the most part, like the land development one is not so bad. Mm. But I guess the existing ones, like the multi-unit, is more my thing.
Right. Because you don't have to like worry about so much with like the more heavy logistics about, getting special permits and different things, because now you talking about touching the land, you gotta go underneath, you gotta do a lot more stuff as opposed to it being already there.
Yeah, well, again, like it really depends. Like multi-unit, it can be something where it can be like a turnkey, where it's already in place. There's not so much of a work that has to be done. It's more of you just go in, it's already set up for you.
Yeah.
For instance, some people like that, for other people, depending on the type of property, you can have multi-unit that you would have to fix up. It's a fixer-upper. So really, it really depends on it. But the good thing is it's already standing. It's the only thing that you would have to do is determines on how, you know, how severe is the makeover for the property.
Definitely. I'm gonna ask you, as a woman entrepreneur, how is it like in, I'll say, in a man's space, quote unquote, because a lot of women, they feel like when they come into entrepreneurship or business that, you know, it's very masculine driven or it's very like male driven or whatever. So, you know, for women coming into entrepreneurship, like how is that?
For the most part, for myself, as of my own personal experience, it has been positive. You know, I've had the support from, you know, from both men and women. Coming into the real estate space, it hasn't been so bad. Mm-hmm. Men have been okay with me coming in and working with them. It's never been a problem per se. I guess the same thing with like in the production side of things. It hasn't been challenging. I think it's because there's been a shift in the past few years with female entrepreneurs coming into that space. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's just one industry or another. It's just that there has been a shift overall for women. So in the past, let's say 5 years, there has been a rise of women coming in as business owners and entrepreneurs. It went up like 40%, and there's more opportunity for them. Now, depending on, I guess the logistic part of it, like funding and things of that, mm-hmm. it varies from industry to industry. But they're opening up the doors for that mm-hmm. as well. They're seeing that. Because women have become more successful in the past few years as women entrepreneur, there's now more availability for financial backing, you know, and funding available for them.
Okay. I like that. I definitely like that. When you're younger, you know, because like going back, you were on this pathway of being in the medical field. You know, that was a goal and a dream of yours, right? So when it came time to, you know, really letting that dream go and coming to a new dream, that transition, because, you know, you kind of transition from thing to thing and you don't really hold back onto that. So being able to transition, how important is that?
For me, overall, the transition wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I think it's just shifting your mindset, because when you're working for someone on a 9-to-5, 40-day, you know, 40 hours, 50 hours, or whatever they may be, you have to answer to someone else. And that security of having that money coming in on a weekly basis is secure. But when you are your own boss and you're an entrepreneur, you know, the mindset there takes a little bit to kind of shift. Yeah. It takes a while to shift. And the reason being is now you're coming to the realization of, oh my God, like I'm making my own hours. I have to pursue these clients in order for me to have my own check come in. So has it been challenging? I guess in the beginning, yes, if there was some challenges, because like anything else, you have to now, you know, you're changing gears and your mindset is now shifting into that whole becoming your own boss. Yeah. Then the next step is, okay, how do I get started? How do I connect with people? How do I compete with other people that are in the same right. industry, in the same niche? How do I connect with clients? How do I have a presence? So these are all the things that you have to think about when you're taking that leap into that other side. So you might start saying, hey, hell yeah, I want to be my own boss. I want to do this. I want to do that. But then now the realization of transitioning over, you have to take the baby steps to kind of like, oh, okay, now that I did this, now you have to set up your own hours. You have to, set up your schedule. You have to really lock yourself down to dedicating yourself and being focused on, okay, now I have to figure out how I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. And you're figuring it out, because not everyone has the luxury of having a mentor walk you through everything. You have to kind of figure yourself out. You know, you have to figure yourself out, and you have to figure out what the next few steps are. Yeah. So for the most part, like anybody else, I had to go through all of that. I had to figure out, like, okay, what is the next step? And you're making mistakes along the way, which is fine, because how are you going to learn? How are you going to gain your experience without making the mistakes? Right. So I guess with that is the reason why, for the most part, I kind of gravitate to people that are starting, you know, that are startups, yeah, or starting out, or young company, is because that part of that situation still resonates with me even to this day. Because it's like, you know, the feeling of, you know, trying to figure it out, you know, the feeling of, you know, certain people kind of looking at you like, oh, well, how long you've been doing this? Well, okay, yeah. I can't be bothered, and things like that. Like, I've experienced all of that. And for me, I always had that space in my heart and in my mind for people that are starting out, and they really are ambitious, and they're, you know, they really want it bad. Right. And, you know, helping them out is kind of like me going through that again, and kind of helping myself out in a way, you know?
That. Yeah. That's powerful. So to, yeah, you know, move outside of business, 'cause, you know, we're coming to, you know, that time where, you know, we're going to wrap it up and everything. What do you do, like, outside of business, you know, when you're not focusing on deals and all those different things, when you kind of want to kick back and relax?
Well, for the most part, there's a few things that I do to just kind of relax. I'm not much of a movie person, but I'll watch something on TV. Like, I'll watch comedies or action, things of that sort.
Yeah.
I like to listen to music. I don't have particular groups in mind, but I'm very eclectic. I'm into anything and everything except for country music, so I'm not really a big fan of that.
Yeah.
And I like to cook, so you know, that's my downtime, and spend, okay, you know, time with the family.
Definitely. Antoine says country is good, depends on the artist. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm not gonna lie, you know, yeah, everybody always says, except for country, but they always have at least one or two country songs that they'll be like, I'll listen to it if it comes on.
It depends. Like, what's her name? Carrie Underwood, I think, is one. Yeah. Reba McEntire, she has, you know, has one or two things.
Yeah.
What's the other? Faith Hill and her husband. Like, there's certain songs. Yeah,
they're out there.
And even with the most recent one that is, like, have been on the charts lately. Little Nas X.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, that's not it's bad. Not like, the song is not bad. It has a nice beat to it. So, right. I guess if it's not so, I don't know.
Country.
It just doesn't sound like that. Like, you know, it's hard to describe.
But I know what you mean.
They're still that are pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna give some you know, some props to a few artists that they know how to you know, give a good country songs. But I did that. Like, one time, when was it? A few months back. This is before all of this lockdown. This is a while ago. I went to a diner near my house, and for whatever reason, they had the radio station. They had it on. They had country music, and it was like one song after another. I swear to you, it sounded the same. It's like, what yeah. is what in the world? Like, didn't it sound like it? It sounds just like one person singing like these similar songs. And no, it was just different artists, but they all sound the same. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not
right.
people that are into country music, hey, whatever is good for them. But I'm not a big fan. Like, it depends on who it is and what kind of song and stuff like that would determine if I'll listen to it or not. But no.
Definitely. I like that. So I'll open the space. Anton, do you have any questions?
No, I think we're just talking about country music, so.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back to business or whatever, anything that was, you know, on your mind or something that the audience might, you know, be wondering.
I think we covered pretty much everything so far.
All right.
Yeah. Wonderful.
What type of media projects do you guys do? I forgot to ask that.
The media projects, I mean, we do media, like we cover local events and things like that.
Okay.
We also, you know, work with other shows and stuff like that for clients that we work with. TV and film, we have a couple of TV projects that we're working on, comedy, drama, thriller. We have animation. We have a couple of animation shows that we're also working on. And on the film side, we have a few projects as well. They're mostly drama, action thriller, or sci-fi horror. So we have a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah, I like that.
Anything going on Netflix, or is it just like your own TV network?
No, these are actually going to the network. I can't disclose too much of it because we're in contract with the networks, but
okay.
These are actual networks. So
okay.
Once we have that, I would definitely share that out with you guys and everyone else that is interested.
Lovely.
And so stay tuned to that.
Definitely. Congratulations on all that. That's amazing.
Thank you. And here's another thing that I'll just put out there.
Yeah.
For the most part, I emphasize a lot about trying to have presence in social media when it comes to business, and you know, and I talk about that a lot. You know, it's very important to showcase your brand when it comes to you know, differentiating yourself from other individuals, other companies that might be in the same space, but you have to. You have to kind of show what it makes you different from everybody else to have your own niche and your own clients that you want to target. So presence is always big. And the other thing too that I always tell people is you have to also be mindful of what you post on the personal side, because that can be detrimental to your business. I've seen people go at it, and it kind of leaves a little bit of a negative undertone. I'm not saying you can't speak your mind on certain things, but you also need to know when to kind of pull back and not be so aggressive or be, you know, posting too much if your main focus is business and trying to attract to the masses, you know, whoever it is that you're trying to appeal to. So I guess for me is it's always been the case where I post on a need to know basis, you know, and the other thing that people kind of joke on with me is, I hear crickets on your side, but it's not so much like that. It's more of, I'm actually kind of behind the scenes working on things. And then I kind of resurface, you know, for the most part. I know that other people kind of work a little bit different. They like to, you know, kind of show people the different steps. But my advice is that if there's something that you're ready to embark on, or you're ready to try to complete out, do not share it so quickly until it's done. And the reason why I advise that to people is, There's always people that are going to be kind of watching everything that you're doing. You don't want to give or feed them something prematurely, and then it doesn't pan out. So sometimes you have to be very careful of what you post before you have, you know, you completed it out 100% or it's in its final stages. So I'm not discouraging anybody. I'm just saying that my advice to those people that have things in the, you know, in the fire, wait until it's completed out before you, you know, you kind of share it out.
I like that. That's good stuff. And, you know, what's one thing you would tell yourself if you're, you know, just starting out in business again?
I would tell myself not to be scared.
Okay.
That everything that you do is a learning process. You have to be patient with anything that you do. And it's okay to fail, because with failure, there's in the front success. And you just have to, you know, you have to go through the motions. If you want something bad enough, you have to go for it. The good and the bad and the ugly. And, you know, just follow through. Never leave anything just halfway. Follow it through. And if it doesn't work out, there's always another option or another opportunity along the way.
I like that. There's always another option or another opportunity. The scarcity mindset is going to kill your goals and dreams.
Yep.
So remember, there's a lot of abundance out here. There's a lot for everybody. You know, we're all three of us, we're all entrepreneurs. We share some of the same space, but then we're all in different spaces too. And I love the fact that we can, you know, still come together and there's no competition. Like, you know, we feed each other, we, you know, give and take from each other, and it's beautiful. And, you know, I've known you for maybe like, what, 2 or 3 years now, you know, following each other on social media and stuff. So, you know, just watching the growth, watching how you maneuver, watching how you do business, and even, you know, on our own ventures, like, it's very, you know, positive, and it's very heartwarming to see, you know, not just a person, but also, you know, a woman taking control and doing things and making her goals and dreams a reality. So
absolutely. Being an entrepreneur is being able to work alongside of other individuals in the same space. It's also leveraging each other. For the most part, the most successful people always leverage each other. They joint venture, collaborate, partnership. That's all in the same sector.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to support each other. It's not everything is going to be about you or your success. It's also giving opportunity for other people to succeed and be, you know, being in their corner, supporting them, cheering them on. That's the whole thing about being in that space, in that community, is to encourage each other and be able to support each other. You know, all successful people do that. You know, like even the musicians, like you see, what is it, like Beyonce and the other ones, they really support each other. Same thing in anything, you know, like in other industries. It's just a matter of being able to, you know, have each other's back when it comes to, you know, pushing them to go to the next level. We all want to see that person succeed. It gives you kind of like the motive and the drive to say, damn, if this person did it, you know, now I can, you know, pull myself up. And knowing that if you do help the other person out, at some point, it's going to be your turn. Someone is going to do it for you. So that's kind of like how I see that when people come to me and like, hey, I really want to do this. It's like, you know, absolutely. I want to see you to succeed. And at some point, you know, during my path, someone is going to give me that, you know, that that opportunity as well. And that support and push me to succeed. So it's like we all have to hold each other accountable when it comes to doing that, being able to see one person go through the threshold and go to the next level. And that, you know, that person is going to do it for someone else. And, you know, it just trickles down.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. I love, you know, everything that you're sharing. Where can people get in, where can people get in, like, connection with you? If you want. I don't know. Some people are weird. I'm just kidding. But
I'm cool with it. For like they can definitely connect with me. I would say LinkedIn.
Yeah.
They can go to Michelle Wong RE527. That's my little handle to connect with me. Facebook, it's a little challenging because I'm at capacity right now. So, but if they want to like reach out to me, they can, connect with me at Michelle@evoidproductions.com. That's like my email if they want to connect with me there. If they want to connect on my real estate side, it's wimgroupcorp@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So whichever way they want to connect, either real estate or production, or even to say hello, they can feel free to connect with me either way.
Definitely. Michelle, I really appreciate you, coming on here, sharing some great, knowledge, sharing your great experiences, and just, providing us with some great energy that we can, move further into our lives and into our own pathways with. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, well, thank you for inviting me on. I know that, right now it's challenging times. We really don't know what is going to happen in the next couple of months. I know it's a little bit up in the air. I know it's challenging for people right now, either seasoned or starting out to move forward their business. You just have to be patient with what's going on, and at the same time, better prepare yourself. Try to do things on the back end, see how you can do certain things with technology. Innovation is one of the bigger picture in technology right now. So utilize that, like how we're doing right now. We're doing this. I mean, that's a way to be able to connect with people.
Definitely.
And do business. So, yeah.
Thank you. Antoine, do you have anything to add?
No, that's perfect.
Awesome. So, Michelle, again, I appreciate you. You're awesome. You're very close to me, and I look forward to seeing what else comes out of you, Evoy, and everything else that you have going on.
Likewise, it's an honor to be on your show, Avnon, Antoine. I know that Antoine hasn't said much, but definitely honored to be on definitely. Your show. Looking
well, everybody
forward.
Knows I'm like the outspoken person, So
I listen though. So
listen, it's good. It's always good to have that. Especially if you're working together as partners, it's always good to have an intro and out and extrovert. So it's a good balance.
Amen. Appreciate you. Thank you again. And Michelle, enjoy the rest of your night.